All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. This morning and tonight, we're going to be looking at the book of Leviticus. If you have your outline on the back side of the outline, that's what we're going to kind of start with. We're going to cover a few of the passages this morning and then some of them this evening, considering this as we look at the book of Leviticus. This morning, we're going to be looking at 13 and 14. If you did the reading, you know that that is talking about leprosy. And so we're going to talk about the leper this morning. God cares about holiness. If you're not sure about that, you probably were made aware of that as you read through the book of Leviticus. I'm going to read a couple of passages just as we start. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In Psalm chapter 89 and verse 35, the Bible says, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David." God, in fact, in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, it says this in Hebrews 6, that he could swear by no greater. And so God, when he made an oath, swore by himself, because guess what God is? He's holy. God is holy. And here we see Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. And what's interesting is King Uzziah actually is one of the people. We read this in the Kings and in Chronicles. King Uzziah actually died as a leper. All right, he was cursed with leprosy because he would not follow the Lord. And it's interesting that in the year that King Uzziah died, here the Lord comes, and what does Isaiah see? He sees vision of the angels, the seraphims, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Holiness is very important. In fact, I love that song. We sing the song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And so holiness is very important. And as we look at the idea of holiness, as we start out, before we get into the idea of leprosy, I wanted us to consider a couple of ideas from the book of Leviticus. And again, this is on the back side of your outline. I listed out a couple of verses in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 44 through 45. It says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 18 and verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, ye shall not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." And then in Leviticus 19 and verse 2, it says, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am..." Guess what he says? Holy. That word holy is found, I think, 90 times in the book of Leviticus. Over 90 times, the idea of holy or holiness is found in the book of Leviticus. And it was trying to indicate to the children of Israel that God is holy. And as the children of Israel, they were set apart. They were His chosen people. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. And you see, Leviticus, though, is put into the canon of Scripture, and it is there for us. So how do I know it's there for us? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So Leviticus is put in the Bible not just for us to ignore. It's probably one of the most ignored, lonely books in the Bible. All right, so it was so happy that as a church, we read it. All right, because it's been so lonely and it's like somebody likes me. All right, but the book of Leviticus is there in Scripture because all Scripture is profitable. And one thing that we learned, I think, as we look through the book of Leviticus, and we're going to talk about that tonight and some helps for holiness, is that God is concerned about detail. God is concerned about the insignificant. Sometimes we think, well, that doesn't matter to God. Yes, it does matter. It matters how you live. It matters what you say. It matters what you do. And in the New Testament, you'd say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, in the New Testament, does God care about how I act? Well, I listed out, and we're going to read a couple of the verses as we start out, and then this evening we'll read a couple more. Well, in John chapter 15 and verse 18 and 19, it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hateth me before it hateth you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to Christians. In John chapter 17 and verse 14 through 19, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then a well-known passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 14, says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You know what the God of Scripture is saying? In the Old Testament, you can look at Leviticus, and what he did is he called the children of Israel and said, hey, I am holy, and you are my people, and you will be holy. And in the New Testament, in 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, you are a chosen generation, a holy nation. That's us he's talking to. That's us as a Christian people, as a Christian heritage, as people called out. And today, we need to show a world that God is still holy. And it's done by His people being holy. It's not done by His people trying to be like the world. You were called out from that. And we need to follow the Scriptures. It's not just in the Old Testament. It's also carried through in the New Testament, where it says that where Christ was praying for His disciples, and He says, I'm not asking for you to take them out of this world, but I ask you to guard them from evil. And sanctify them by thy truth. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. May God help us as a people to learn to be holy like our God is holy. And one of the things that helps us to as we're going through scripture, and we're, this morning we're going to be specifically looking at the idea of leprosy. And when you look at this idea of leprosy, what you find is that this leprosy was something that was horrible. It was a disease. It was a scourge. It was something that people, when they had it, they had to be removed. And over 50 times, we'll see this in our second point, but over 50 times in Leviticus 13, 14, and 15, the idea of unclean is mentioned. And that's what leprosy, the uncleanness is supposed to remove. You had to remove them from the midst of the congregation. And it's a picture for us in Leviticus 13 and 14 because leprosy, some disagree, but I believe biblically that leprosy is a picture of sin. Disease and cankerous things in the Bible are a picture of sin. And I believe I have scripture to back that up. And so the Bible is instructing you and I in Leviticus 13 and 14 as we apply it today in the New Testament time. It's telling us as a believer to be very careful of sin. To understand the danger of sin. And the picture for us is in this idea of leprosy. May it help us today as we're thinking about through the book of Leviticus of how to be holy as a people. One of the things that will make you holy is to have a holy fear of sin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless as we speak this morning. Give us wisdom and guidance. As always, Lord, do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Leprosy was a very dangerous, contagious disease. And we don't really hear too much today about leprosy. And in fact, throughout human history, there were different words that would maybe not for us today, but different words that would bring fear to somebody. For instance, many years ago, the word polio, cancer today, different things. But many years ago, the word leper or leprosy would just bring fear when someone would hear that. And leprosy is a chronic infection, a chronic infectious disease. It brought terror to the hearer of the word leprosy. It's been around for thousands of years. It's killed and mutilated millions of people. There was a drug that came around in the 1940s, the late 1940s. A man was able to come up with a cure, basically, for leprosy. So that's why today you don't really hear too much about leprosy. But I mentioned that I believe biblically leprosy represents sin. And the reason, there are a couple of verses, but one passage is found in Isaiah chapter 1. And I'll just read it to you. In Isaiah chapter 1, the prophet Isaiah is talking to the nation of Israel. And in verse 4, he says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward." And this is what he says. "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." So that's found in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And I believe Isaiah, through inspiration and is preserved for us today, is showing to the children of Israel that they had a cancer, they had a disease, and it was a leprosy of the heart. And that's why I believe leprosy today is a picture of sin for us. And what do we mean by that? And we're going to look at that. Just three simple points this morning from our text in Leviticus. All right, if you're in Luke, You're going to miss the passage. But in Leviticus chapter 13, notice in verse 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy." So here we are brought into the realm in Leviticus 13 and 14, and there's a whole big discussion about leprosy. And if you read the passages, it goes pretty thoroughly through it. It talks about leprosy, could be in the skin, but it was deeper than the skin. Notice what it says in verse 3. It says, "And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh." We're going to talk about that in our second point, and what you see is, sometimes, and this is why I believe leprosy is a picture of sin, is because sometimes we look at sin as just it's just something, especially in our society. Hey, you know what? They got an ailment. They have a disease. They have this or that. All right. But leprosy as a picture of sin goes deeper than the skin. And that is the problem with sin and ourselves. All right. What we see in verse 2, first of all, leprosy was not a respecter of persons. It says, when a man. All right, and that was a general term for man, woman. In the Bible, in fact, the first time you see the idea of leprosy come on the scene is when Moses comes before Pharaoh. Remember Moses coming before Pharaoh, and he was able to reach in and pull out his hand, and it became leprous. That's the first time you see the idea of leprosy. Now, obviously, Pharaoh knew what it was because they were like, oh, what's going on? All right. But then later you see that Miriam, his sister, got leprosy. The Kings, 2 Kings, in fact, at the end of our message, we're going to look at 2 Kings 5. You see that there was captain of the Syrian host, a man named Naaman. All right, he was a respected, in the passage it says he was respected, he was revered, he was a devout man, but guess what? He was a leper. I mentioned in 2 Kings chapter 15, we read about King Uzziah, and King Uzziah was judged by God, and a king was made a leper. We read about a couple of lepers, I think it's in the book of Kings, that were outside and they were in a city and they were starving, and they ran out and they were lepers. They were unclean, and they were able to find a host of goods. All right, if you remember that story. But then you come to the New Testament and you read of a couple of lepers. You read of lepers that we're gonna look at one in Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, you read about Jesus coming through, and there was a leper, and he called out to Jesus, and he had mercy on the leper, and he cleansed him. But then you read that at the end of Jesus' life, that Jesus went into a house, and he went into a man who was Simon the leper. And I don't know if Jesus healed that leper, it could be, but Jesus went into his house, and that's where Mary anointed Jesus' feet. So the reason I say that leprosy was not a respecter of persons is because you have Moses' sister. You have Naaman, captain of the host. You have a king. You have Simon the leper. You have all kinds of different people, and this is why it pictures for us sin. Is sin is not a respecter of persons. Sin has infected all of us. Our society has been corrupted with an evil philosophy that the heart of man is good at its core, and left alone, man will eventually find goodness on this earth. However, biblically, this is not true. We see that from our father and mother, Adam and Eve, we have inherited a sin nature, and our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We don't have to learn how to cheat. We don't have to learn how to do evil. It's a natural state of man. This may sound like doom and gloom to you, to the hearer this morning, but keep listening, all right? Because later I'm going to give you a hope. I'm going to give you somebody, a great physician that you can come to, and he can cleanse all of us of our leprosy. There is some sunshine by the end of the sermon. However, I cannot paint a more bleak picture than the Bible does in this vile picture of leprosy, which would spread and infect a person, sometimes even eating away limbs, sometimes producing massive stinking holes, which would ooze bacteria. That is the picture that is presented to us here in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. And here you find in scriptures, you find Miriam and you find Naaman and you find King Uzziah and you find others that have had this leprosy. And remember, here's a little maid in 2 Kings chapter 5 that is taken captive, but she knew of leprosy and the horridness of leprosy. That remember, she was sitting there and she was talking to herself and her captive. The Naaman's wife overheard her and she said, Oh, that my master could find the man of God. And that's my desire here this morning as I speak to you about this awful, awful disease called leprosy, and the leprosy, the sin that has infected our hearts. And here this morning, you may be an unbeliever and you'd say, oh man, what am I supposed to do? And all I say is, oh, that you would find the great physician. Oh, that you would come to him. He that has cleansing, he that has the power to heal your soul. Because here it is that this oozing and this festering and this filth, and I think all of us know it because those of us that have been saved, even now, that sin still sometimes comes and grabs a hold of us. And it festers and it oozes. And it's so despicable, the stench of sin. And praise the Lord that we can come to the great physician. See, leprosy was not a respecter of persons. We find that in Scripture. In Psalm 51, David was talking about sin and he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And that's why I know that biblically sin and this idea of leprosy, this disease, it's no respecter of persons. Because even King David said, I was shapen in sin. I was shapen and sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Nobody is born without sin. How do I know that? Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, what does the Bible say in Romans 3:23? For all have sinned. It's very clear in Scripture. We're born in sin. And you'd say, well, man, that's very dark. It's very gloomy. I understand that. And that is what leprosy presents to us. It presents to us this awful, horrible problem. And that's what in Leviticus we come to it and we say, well, how am I supposed to be holy? Because God says, be ye holy. And here I am as this leper, an outcast, unclean. Oh, keep listening. Because there is somebody that can cleanse your soul. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says this, and that's why, again, I say Scripture bears me out. It doesn't matter what the philosophers say. It doesn't matter what the therapists say. It doesn't matter what the world say. Thus saith the Lord. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that I am a sinner and you are a sinner. We are plagued with this leprosy. Leprosy was not a respecter of persons. Secondly, we see from our text that leprosy made a man unclean and contagious. Unclean. Over 50 times in Leviticus 13, 14, and it may include 15. I can't remember if I counted that chapter 2. But between the two chapters, maybe 3, over 50-something times, the word unclean is there. For instance, look at what it says in verse 8. If the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. Look at verse 11. It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. Verse 14, but when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. Verse 15, unclean. What are you hearing? Unclean. Unclean. That is what leprosy does, and that's what sin presents before our Savior and before God. And that's why even when the sin of this world was placed upon our Savior, our righteous Savior, our holy Savior there on the cross, when God looked down and he saw sin, even God himself turned his back on his Son. Why? Because God cannot stomach sin. Even his own son, he turned his back. Why do I know that? Because Jesus Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sin is something that disgusts our God and our Savior. Sin is something that is not allowed in heaven's presence. And you and I with sin are unclean. And I think there's an application for us that are saved here this morning. Then how much the story of leprosy and the idea of the disease of leprosy, how much it should remind us that sin is repulsive to our Savior and to our God, and how we were saved from that. And so then, be careful of letting sin in your life. Be careful of being comfortable with sin. And I understand, we all live in this Adamic nature. We all live in this sinful carnal flesh. And I understand day in and day out, we have to live with it. But this evening, we'll talk about it. My first point this evening is keep short accounts then with sin. Don't live with it long. Don't let it linger. Why? Because it makes you unclean. And you want to step into the presence of our Savior, the privilege of stepping in and having fellowship with our God and our Savior. And what does the Bible say? What does it say in Isaiah? If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. You know why it's quiet? From heaven? Do you know why it seems like there's no communication from heaven? Because unclean! Unclean! As a Christian, you've become comfortable with the blot and scourge of leprosy. But then it could be that you're not saved this morning. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't, can you imagine here's a leper. And a leper says, well, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what you think. All right. Maybe you fixed it up and you got a trick mirror. Maybe you got a good friend, or maybe not a good friend. Maybe you got a deceitful friend and he's going to come to you and he's going to say, hey, you know what? It's not that bad. It's not that. Just wrap it up a little bit. But it's still festering. And you cover it up and you doctor it up and you go and you get all covered and you walk out and you say, look it, I'm fine, but underneath, guess what? It's still festering. It's still unclean. And that's what today with religion and with some it's church attendance and some it's good works and some it's other things. And they try to cover up that blot and the stench of leprosy. And God from heaven still cries out, unclean, unclean. Maybe this morning you'd say, well, it's so pitiful. Oh, it is. Because leprosy made a man unclean, but also it made him contagious. It made him contagious. You'll see throughout Leviticus 13 and 14 that it says, it uses this word that you should shut him up or shut him out and remove him. You know why? Because leprosy, it wasn't a super contagious, it wasn't like coughing, right? Like all of a sudden you're coming by and like, ah, got leprosy. All right, it's a little bit different than that. You couldn't just catch it from coughing. But leprosy was contagious, and so that's why they had to be removed from society. Oh, it teaches us something, doesn't it, about sin? Sin spreads, doesn't it? Sin breeds sin. And so it is in our heart. It seems that, and as a Christian here this morning, the application to you is this. Don't allow sin to fester. Don't allow it to take comfort and residence in your life. Why? Because sin breeds sin. It's a canker. It eats away at our soul. Oh, you see that in our society. You see it so much. You pull open a paper and it just seems like it just flows with putrefying sores. It's gotta be a horrid scent before our God and our Savior. As He looks down and just as the rivers. Right? And some may disagree, but this is what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. It's what thus saith the Lord. It's what God's word says. And as He looks down upon America, this is what I believe. I think He sees the streets of America flooded with innocent blood. He sees the weekends of America filled with entertainment. Filled with all kinds of things except for Him. It's a leprosy. Because sin breeds sin. Leprosy made man unclean. It made him contagious. Oh, unbeliever, this morning, you must understand that your uncleanness will keep you from heaven. Only the blood of Jesus can wash you white as snow. The Bible tells us that even our good is unrighteousness in the sight of God. Our good comes from a tainted flesh that is corrupted. The unbeliever must come to the Savior and be cleansed from his leprous state and be made whole. So we see that leprosy was not a respecter of persons. Leprosy was made a man unclean and contagious, But then, praise the Lord, leprosy had to be dealt with spiritually. Notice in our text it says, and when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh, it goes and talks about the leprosy, he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priest. Sin has to be dealt with spiritually. Now what do we mean by that? You can't have an earthly solution to a spiritual need. And that is what our society tries to do. They're trying to put a band-aid on this horrible disease. They're trying to fix it. And they treat symptoms, but they don't treat. They don't treat so that the person can be made whole. Oh, here, why don't you have 12 sessions? And maybe we can think positive thoughts. And you know what? Positive thoughts are good. It's better than negative thoughts. But positive thoughts alone are not going to take away your sin. So what needs to happen? Well, let me give you two examples as we close this morning. The one is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, we read about Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. It says in verse 1 in 2 Kings 5, he was a great man with his master honorable because by him the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But it says this, but he was a leper. And this is what you must understand. The Bible is indicating to you and I, because leprosy is a picture of sin. You may be a great man. You may be a mighty man. And God may have given you favor in this world. He may have given you some chance to move ahead. But guess what? All of us, we can put that at the end. But he was a sinner. Every one of us. On our own. No matter what. Our accolades and what anybody says about us at the end, if that sin, if that leprosy is not taken care of, we will die and go to a Christless hell. So what does the Bible tell us in 2 Kings chapter 5? They bring him to Elisha. And Elisha in verse 10 says, send a messenger and tell him, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Now, Naaman was a little upset because he thought that Elisha should at least come and talk to him personally. But eventually he did what he was told. And in verse 14 it says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Oh, praise the Lord for a man of God that gave him a pathway to cleansing. And this morning, what we'd like to do is present a way from you, a way for you to get rid of that leprosy. And that is, come to Jesus Christ, because our second example is found in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 8. And in Matthew chapter 8, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand, and anybody else, this would be almost blasphemy. Anybody else, this would be arrogance. Anybody else, this would be the height of pride. But not with our Savior, because our Savior says, I will. You and I could come and say, as somebody with leprosy, as somebody with sin, and this is what we have in our society. We have those high in religion that come and they say, well, this is how I can help you with your sin. You can't help. You can't help. A mere man can't help another man with sin. I can only lead you. As the prophet Elisha, I can only point you to him that can cleanse you from your sin. But Jesus Christ can say, I will. Be thou clean. And this is what he did. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. What's beautiful, a couple of times it does in the New Testament, it uses the idea of healing, just a couple of times. But most of the time in the New Testament, when you find a leper, you find the word cleansed. And I love that, because that's a picture I again think of ourselves and our sin. And when we come to Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you the scourge of leprosy is upon you. Because it is not a respecter of person. It reaches the young, the old, the rich, the poor, the smart, the dumb. It reaches everybody. It's all races, all genders, even the confusing ones today. It reaches all. And guess what it tells them? It tells them that there's a putrid sore. There's a blight It's this leprosy. And now, and you and I, and this is the way I was born, I have to cry out, unclean, unclean. And it's contagious. And so this morning, as an unbeliever, I challenge you, come to Christ. And you'll find if you bow down like this leper and you worship Christ and you say, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You know what you'll find? Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus Christ stands with his arms open wide and he cries out and he says, hey, come unto me. And you'll find cleansing this morning. Sin is ignored in our society. We downplay sin. We call it faults and shortcomings, hang-ups, problems, mistakes, slip-ups, dysfunctional, a sickness. We don't like the word sin. Why is this? Because as soon as you say the word sin, there steps in God. There you step into a realm of theology where you have to admit that there's a problem. There's a core need. And this morning, this is what I tell you as we look at the idea of leprosy in Scripture. You find that leprosy is a representation of sin. And as an unbeliever, all of us are with sin. And as a believer here this morning, it is a blight. It is something contagious. It is something unclean. It is something that we need to be careful of. Because sin is something that ruins us. It ruins our relationship with God. There is a God and he takes sin quite seriously. The Bible is clear when he calls sin a violation of God's law. It is also clear when it declares that we have committed sin. And think about this. I've heard some people say, well, I haven't committed that much sin. All right. So what if you only commit one sin a day? Somebody did the math on this. And they said that just as a young person, if you only commit one sin a day, which is just one, more than likely you'll commit by the time you die 70,000 sins. That doesn't seem so small anymore, does it? And so let me ask you, if you come before a judge and you say, so how many? Oh, just one or two a day. It's not that many. And as it builds up and it builds up and you stand before a judge and here's 70,000 sins. But the Bible says, even one sin, even one, and you're guilty of all. And there was only one that was sinless, and that was our Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Savior died for your sins. He died so this blight of leprosy could be cleansed. Oh, praise the Lord for our Savior. Praise the Lord for his salvation. Because without him, our stench, this blot, would forever be upon us. But now we can come to our Savior, and he can wash us white as snow.